Hey folks, this is Vince the Evil DM, the Evil Dungeon Master. Welcome back to another show here on the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast. Hopefully you're doing well. It's Tuesday. Yesterday I skipped doing a podcast because I was in the totality eclipse area, so I wanted to partake in that. I was in almost 100% of the, it was like 99.999, whatever the heck. And I thought it'd be something interesting to see, so I was out for most of the day doing that with my wife and family. So we saw that. It was nothing more than just something you could see and say that you were there to see it. It actually could be a good topic for a maybe a D&D adventure, like an eclipse totality. The god gets angry and he sends the totality eclipse, blocks out the sun, and wants the other deities are helping him, because usually there's more than one deity in D&D and stuff like that. But there could be one, who knows? But he blocks out the sun, and he wants the people of the world to worship or apologize to him, something like that, you know. Or do like Mr. Burns did on The Simpsons, just block out the sun, because he can. But today, before we get into things, I just want to say thank you for all the listeners out there, as we're increasing again on Spotify. We're up to about almost 60 five-star reviews on Spotify. Apple Podcasts got a few more five-star reviews. I appreciate that. You can send me a question, ask the DM at theevildm.com, or you can head over to facebook.com/theevildungeonmaster, or you can hit me up on Twitter at theevildm and ask me a question. I will read it on the air. Like today, I got a question from Jonathan K. over on Facebook Messenger for my page, The Evil Dungeon Master. And he said, here's a question for you. I've listened to your shows over the year and heard lots of fantasy, superhero, and sci-fi, but not much in the historical-based games. What are your thoughts on the genres like gangbusters and westerns? Well, thanks, Jonathan, for that question. And to answer that question, I honestly don't know many people that play historical games like gangbusters or westerns. And I love both of those. In fact, when I was going to conventions, I would always look for a gangbusters game. And when DM Glenn from Thacko's Hammer would run one of those games, I would always get in that game because I liked the time period and I liked the way he would put on different voices and, you know, his take on the whole gangbusters 1920s and 1930s. I think it's ripe for a really cool game, especially the way you play it. I mean, you could be a detective, you could be a gangster, you could be a mobster, whatever, that's probably the same thing. You could be a reporter, and, you know, everything is simple because it's the 1920s and 1930s, and you have to think of a different time frame. Although the westerns, the only western that I've ever really played in, other than maybe one game of Boot Hill, was, what was the name of it? It was Deadlands. I was going to say, what's the name of the Deadlands game? It was Deadlands. I played in a campaign, it was probably 2018, 17, around there, right here in North Texas. We played in the game, and I was actually playing a sheriff. Was he a marshal or a sheriff? I can't remember if he was a marshal or a sheriff. It was one of those abilities. You had to take the veteran ability in Deadlands Savage Worlds, and you got to be a sheriff or marshal. I can't remember which one it was. But I had this whole thing that, you know, if I had a bad day, I'd have to go spend the night drinking, and then I would have, like, you know, negatives on my abilities when I woke up because I was drunk and I was using the ability as a sheriff. It was actually kind of interesting because in the West, sheriffs could go from town to town and still be respected by most people because it's the law. Not that he was the sheriff of that town or the marshal of the area. He was just respected upon as opposed to not respected. So I would use the badge in ways to get information or ways to get in certain situations. It was a fun game, and there was a couple times that I missed the game, which I was mad about because, you know, things happen. But I missed it, and then my friends would tell me when I came back, well, we just had your guy pass out, and we borrowed his badge while he was passed out. I was like, great, thanks. So they stole the badge off him, and then they used it and impersonated law, because there really wasn't much of a check or a way to check back in the old West. I mean, if you had a badge, it was either because you were, I would guess, voted on, or you were bestowed upon by a mayor or maybe someone important, and no one really questioned it all too much. So it was kind of interesting how that worked, but it was a fun game to play. Another historical game, and believe it or not, would be Vampire the Dark Ages or Dark Ages of Vampire, depending on which edition you played. The original was Vampire the Dark Ages, and then they moved it up to Dark Ages Vampire, and you were basically playing in, let's see, it was 1100s to 1200s, maybe 1300s, the furthest of time, but you were during the Middle Ages time, and you were playing a vampire in the clan time. It was actually pretty cool because you got to roam around and not really have to worry about things as much as you would do in, say, if you were playing Vampire the Masquerade modern day, and you had to worry about, you know, phones and police and things like that. And of course, there were guards and people that would be vampire hunters, because it was a whole Inquisitor book for Vampire the Dark Ages. I always thought it was a great idea, because you're kind of, it was like playing Dungeons and Dragons, but you were basically less combat and a little more social wise, but you were playing still in the same time frame as they had Dungeons and Dragons Adventure, and you were part of the whatever clan. And the clan that I really liked during the Dark Ages was La Sombra, and that's the traditional vampire or Dracula clan is La Sombra, and they had the ability to control the shadows and things like that, and I always liked that. And it was always fun to play Inquisitors as well, because you were just basically hunters and you were looking for the vampires at the time. There was also Werewolf, the Wild West, I remember, but I didn't really get to play in that. There was a D20 campaign that I played in. That was a Vikings campaign source book. Or was that AD&D? I can't remember. It was during that time frame that all those books started. I think it might have been D20. And we were basically a bunch of Vikings on our own ship, and we were our own Viking clan, and we had to roam around, and we got to pillage and destroy stuff, and then we got attacked by other Viking clans until we had to come to some agreement and try to forge an alliance with another Viking clan so we can go take over another Viking clan's lands and everything. It was interesting. One game I wanted to play in that I've always wanted to play in, but I cannot find players, is the Pendragon campaign. King Arthur Pendragon. I think it's just called Pendragon at this point, but it was probably called King Arthur Pendragon at another point. I could be wrong. Don't quote me. Let me look it up real quick here as I look through online, because it just came to my mind here. It's King Arthur Pendragon Edition 5.1. So it's, yeah, the full name. But I've only heard people call it Pendragon. And it's, I always wanted to play that because I've always been a big fan of the Arthur legend and the Arthur Knights. And I ran a whole D&D campaign for second edition to AD&D when I used the Deities and Demigods book, took the Arthur legend out of it. And at the time I was watching the TV show Merlin. So I was kind of riffing off of that TV show and using the campaign books, trying to make this whole game going up. And I had Uther Pendragon. It was, did not like magic, just like in the TV show. And then Arthur was only a prince at the time, and Merlin was a young boy. It was kind of a fun campaign to play, and I was running, but I don't think the players liked it too much because they really weren't into the historical part of it. And the whole, like, they weren't impressed by King Arthur or Prince Arthur. And they weren't impressed by the legends and everything. They were just like, oh yeah, cool. And they just basically told them off when they met him. I was just like, oh wow. Well, never mind about that. So I don't know. I mean, I never really played in many games. I mean, the ones I've talked about are the ones I've played in, but they are far and few between. And I do think that a fun time can be played with Gangbusters, definitely. Out of all of them, Gangbusters could be a very long-term campaign. Now, I don't know what edition I would want to play. I never got to see the BX version of Gangbusters. I know it's out there, but I'm not going to buy it because I'm never going to run it because nobody wants to play it. When I was looking for another game to play with my group before we started getting into Palladium, I was just like, hey, how about we play Gangbusters? And they're like, what's that? I'm like, oh, basically you're playing in the 1920s, 1930s, and you could be a mobster, gangster, police officer investigating crimes, or a reporter, and, you know, there's things going on, and it's a 19. They're like, no, that's boring. I'm like, but you get Tommy guns and old cars and bootleg alcohol. And no, they were just like, nah, that's boring. So I never really purchased it. I saw it, and I remember I think Glenn ran it one time. DM Glenn ran it at North Texas RPG Con when I went the one time. But that was really about it. I didn't get to play in that game. I did get to play in the regular Gangbusters edition game, which I feel was great. I think I have that box set somewhere. I don't know where. I have to pull it out. But no one wants to play. So, yeah, I can go online and create a group and probably play on Roll20 or Foundry since I have Foundry. But I don't want to because I have my group. And I don't really like finding new random groups, random people, because then you have to get used to everyone and their style again. And then have to deal with this or that in people's lives. And sometimes I just settle into a group, get used to a group, and that's all I really want to play. And bringing in new people is always kind of a pain to me because then you have to vet the person. And the reason I like to vet people is because I want to make sure everybody who's playing the game can sit there and comfortably play a game and not have to worry. One time I let somebody into my group, and I didn't vet the person. I just went off of someone's, you know, recommendation. Boom, brought the person into the group. And it literally made everybody miserable because this person just didn't click with the group. And this was the perfect example. What I was afraid of happening, of, you know, just them arguing, everybody coming to me on the side saying they had problems with this person. So that person eventually left the group anyway. But what I do now is if I have to bring somebody new into a group, and I have 8 players now, so I don't really need anybody else. But yeah, you never know. Sometimes you move, people move, get older, whatever, you got to move away, new group. So I like to vet now and then let them. Vetting only means sitting in the group playing with us for a number of sessions. That's all it really means. I think it's 4 sessions total. And then the group decides, is this person cool? Can they stay? Everybody gets a vote. And I would be the tiebreaker. That's the GM. That's it. I don't get a vote. I brought them in as a possible player. I'm nominating them to come into the group. We're seeing how they gel with the group. After 4 sessions, if they gel, welcome to the group. If not, sorry, it's not working out. Have a nice day. Most people understand that. And by the time playing 4 sessions, you'll know if you don't like my GMing style or you don't like somebody in the group or they're bothering you or you really like the group, you'll know by then. So anyway, if you have any questions, ask the DM at theevildm.com is my email address. My website is theevildm.com as well. You can check me out on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Undercast, Apple Podcasts, and other casts out there because I'm have it all over the place. So with that said, I'm going to head out. Keep original, keep it old school. Good night and God bless everybody.